In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is a reading from Luke, which I've already read. Please be seated. These last two Sundays, the prophets Jeremiah and Malachi have said to us, "Behold," that is, "look, stop what you're doing and pay attention to this thing. Behold, the days are coming," they tell us. As we heard on Ash Wednesday, this is a common Old Testament way of talking about the Messianic age or the coming of Jesus. Malachi, our prophet du jour, reminds us that one of the things the Messiah is coming to do is to bring judgment. Therefore, when Jesus turns his attention to judgment themes in the Gospels, we really shouldn't be surprised. These things were written down for our instruction in the prophets, and when Jesus speaks them, he is speaking in a long line of those who speak God's word. Part of the Messiah's task of executing justice, as Jeremiah says, is setting right what has gone wrong. If Jesus doesn't judge and punish evil, then the last day is not really a day of comfort for us as Christians. If we can expect to continue to contend with evil into eternity, then we have a Savior who is seriously lacking. Today, as you have already heard, Jesus turns our attention to the fact that his final advent will come with frightful signs. He says that there will be signs in sun, moon, and stars, and history is full of accounts of ancient peoples who took the appearances of comets or eclipses as harbingers of evil. Because of the thorough observation of the heavens today, we can fairly accurately predict when a comet will pass by or when we can expect a meteor shower or an eclipse. I've even got an app on my phone that tells me to go outside to look and see if we're passing through a meteor shower. These things are not really a mystery to us anymore, and we ought to be extremely skeptical of those who say they can accurately predict the end of the world by observing these things. However, we do well to remember why God set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens. He says in Genesis chapter 1, they are for signs, for seasons, for days, and years. This means that even as we use the sun, moon, and stars to mark days, seasons, and years, Jesus says that we should also be reminded by them that his return is coming. It's imminent. It will happen at any time. This is true, Jesus says, of all the signs that he mentions here and in other places in the Gospels. When we see the distress of nations, we should remember that Jesus is near. When we see earthquakes in the news, like the one in Northeast Ohio this week, we should remember that Jesus is near. When we hear about famine, such as the estimated 1 million children under 5 who will perish from starvation this year alone, we should remember that Jesus' return is near. When we hear about wars and rumors of wars, like the constant fighting we hear about in the Middle East, or the Christian pastors in Ethiopia who were recently killed by Islamic radicals, we should remember that Jesus is near. I'd like to read for you this morning an observation about the last days that was written by a well-respected Lutheran pastor. He says this: "The history of the centuries that have passed since the birth of Christ nowhere reveals conditions like those of the present. There has never been such building and planting in the world. Such dainty and varied eating and drinking has not been as common as it is now. Clothing has become so costly that it cannot be more so now. Who has ever heard of such commerce as now encircles the world and swallows it? There arise and have arisen all kinds of art, painting, embroidery, and engraving, which has not been equaled since the birth of Christ. Thinking about those remarks, I think the pastor's statements about the world today are relatively accurate. But he goes on. In addition, there are such keenly intelligent people who let nothing be hidden, so that now a boy of 20 knows more than 20 doctors formerly knew. There is such a knowledge of languages and all kinds of wisdom that it must be confessed the world has reached such great heights in the things that pertain to the body, or as Christ calls them, cares of this life, eating, drinking, building, planting, buying, selling, keeping wife and child, that everyone must see and say either ruin or a chance must come. It is not easy to think of either improvement or ruin. Dawn breaks and there is a new day, whatever it may be. It cannot be otherwise. There was never such wit, reason, and understanding among Christians in temporal and bodily things as now. Have you guessed yet the identity of this astute observer of the world's condition? Well, this well-respected Lutheran pastor is none other than the esteemed Reverend Dr. Martin Luther himself. Yes, Luther was quite convinced that the return of Christ was to happen at any moment. Now, we know that Luther's personal belief about the end of the world, that he believed that it would likely happen during his lifetime, was wrong. But he wasn't wrong in his theological evaluation of the world. How many of us today have lamented the current state of the world? How many of us have worried about the world that our children and grandchildren are growing up in? In today's lesson, Jesus is reminding us of the fact that the world is getting worse, not better. Sure, there are some improvements that have happened to make our lives a little bit longer, a little more comfortable. But did you think that the government and some Christians would be blessing the utter perversion of marriage that we see today? Could our grandparents have even imagined a world where a full-grown man can decide that he's a woman and takes hormones and have surgery to change the way he looks? Did you think that when you had your first child, there would be schools today, elementary schools, that would allow little Johnny to say he's a girl named Susie, but not tell his parents? These things can really weigh us down. My wife frequently tells me to keep my head down and to do the work that I need to do as a pastor so that everything in the wider world doesn't poison my soul to the point that I can't keep going. Pretty sound advice. So we take breaks from social media because the stuff we see there saddens and alarms us. We struggle with old aches and pains, both from physical and emotional scars, wishing that our secret suffering would come to an end. All of these things are there to remind us that the end is near. They are like the fig tree, or any tree, that tells us that by its leaves, the season is changing. When these things take place, Jesus says, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. And so, Jesus says, don't put your head down. Straighten up. Raise your heads. You might ask, who can do such a thing in a world and face these terrible signs and the impending judgment? Indeed, the whole world will be terrified at that day, and they will hang their heads and hide their faces in such terror and fear. So how can we, who know what the scriptures say about that day, do anything different? Malachi told us that the day was coming like a burning oven, and everything would be burned up. There would be no root or branch, and everything would be turned to ash. Well, the answer is this. All of these words are spoken to Christians, to those who belong to Christ. These words of encouragement are not words for the unbelieving world. We suffocate in the great temptations and sufferings of this life that are a result of all kinds of evil. This is why life in this world becomes bitter and loathsome. This drives us to pray the Lord's Prayer, especially the petitions, "Thy kingdom come and deliver us from evil." If we pray these things, then we must regard these signs, however terrible they may be, not with sorrow and dread, but with joy and longing. Straighten up, raise up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. Jesus does not say be filled with fear and hang your heads. With these things, when these things take place, Jesus says, he is saying that these are the signs that the very thing that we've been taught to pray for from the time that we could speak, these things are coming. If we earnestly want to be freed from sin and death and hell, then we must desire and love the signs that these things are bringing. St. Paul says in another place, "Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Dear friends in Christ, what power is in this promise of Jesus? This means that we who are weighed down by the cares and concerns of this life can find in the sorrows, can find in these sorrows the sign that Jesus' return is near. And he comes with the crown of life. To put it another way, when we face things like pain or suffering or loss, we ought to look at those things and declare that this is proof beyond all doubt that Jesus' return is near. Has he not said these things would happen before his return? That day, dear friends in Christ, will not be a day of terror for you, but for you it will be a day of comfort and peace and joy. It is at this point that the devil, the world, and the flesh would like to point out your sins to you. You might say, "How can I, of all people, look forward to the coming of the Lord, since I know I am not godly, and I know that I am not without my own sin? How can I look forward to the day of our Lord's return, even though I still struggle with sins and temptations?" Well, we do well to consider that fear and fleeing will not help. We cannot run and hide from God. Those who suffer in hell are afraid for eternity, and yet their sin and torment is not removed. In fact, fear only leads to more sin. Fear must be replaced by a holy desire for righteousness and for the day of our Lord's coming. If you long to be godly and free from sin, then give thanks to God and continue in that desire more and more. As Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But even that internal desire to be free from sins is not quite enough to make us ready for the day of the Lord's coming. Hear the words of Jesus from John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." With these words, our Lord teaches what truly makes us worthy and well prepared for his coming. That is, faith in Christ. That faith receives what Christ has come to give, that is, his righteousness. Because you have been given this righteousness through faith, you are truly worthy and well prepared for his coming, not based on your own works, but based on the blood of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to regard today's gospel lesson as sweet as honey. He tells us that the frightful things that are happening around us in the world right now are signs of his coming, and that we ought to look at them with joy. He tells us to straighten up and raise our heads because our redemption is coming. Christ does not lie. These words are not spoken to deceive you. Jesus has not come to condemn you, but to redeem you from sin and death. Therefore, dear friends in Christ, even as you pray, "Thy kingdom come and deliver us from evil," you may look at the trials and sufferings of this life and see them as signs that Jesus is coming soon with his kingdom in order to deliver you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of everlasting light and life. And so I urge you, therefore, when you feel the pain of sin and the suffering of this world that it deals out to us, I want you to hear these words. I want you to repeat them and rejoice. This is a sign that Jesus is coming. Thus you can say, even in the face of death, this is a sign that Jesus is coming soon. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.